Good morning. This is the second week of Advent. Today I would like to ask to consider the love of God. Today's passage is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. 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 This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is love. The Bible speaks about God's love, and this phrase, God is love, is found in today's passage, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. These words comfort us, empower us, and encourage us. They also give us the courage to take a step forward, saying, yes, I will be with God and live. As people who have received God's love, we are determined and pray to respond to that love and walk in a manner worthy of it. We long to mobilize all our intellect and emotions to understand that love even a little more deeply. However, the love of God is vast and profound, far surpassing human understanding or imagination. Just as a child cannot fully comprehend a parent's love, we may find God's unconditional love to be utterly mysterious. Today, let us contemplate this mysterious love of God. Parents love their children, but there are times when they get angry, right? When I was a child and did something wrong, my mother would sometimes scold me and then say, I am angry because I love you. But every time she said that, I would think, if you love me, you could just tell me more nicely. Or I will listen more readily that way. So I didn't quite understand. It was difficult for me to reconcile anger and love together. We tend to think that if someone is angry, they don't love. And if they love, they won't get angry. We often understand deep love as the absence of anger, and intense anger as the absence of love. And furthermore, we might generally see anger as a bad thing. Consequently, when we hear God is love, the idea that God is not one who gets angry naturally follows. What about you? What does the Bible teach us? Let's read verse 10 of today's passage. Again, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Herein is love. What is important is the latter part of that passage. God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. Introducing Jesus Christ as an atoning sacrifice is not unique to this passage. It is also found in the book of Romans. What does the word atone mean? To atone means to bring someone who is emotional or angry back to a peaceful state. Therefore, the phrase atoning sacrifice implies that someone is angry. And who is angry? It is God. What is he angry about? He's angry at sin and at sinners. They are written in Romans and in John. So God too gets angry. Here, let us consider the difference between human anger and God's anger. Human anger is often tainted by personal emotions and self-interest. It can be an unpleasant, hostile feeling in response to a personal insult or injury. Even when we are angry about injustice, we tend to go too far and overreact. What about God's anger? God's anger is also an emotion, but it is not out of control. God's wrath is not a capricious feeling, but an intentional and sovereign judgment. In other words, while God's anger belongs to the realm of emotion, its essence is a righteous and deliberate reaction stemming from God's holy nature, and it never goes to excess. Since God's anger originates from holy righteousness, he would not be angry if there were no sin. If everything were right, he would not be angry. Unfortunately, however, the Bible states in the book of Romans, "For all have sinned." Here, sin refers not only to actually stealing somebody's property or causing harm, but also to being self-centered and attempting to become one's own God. All people are in this state and are under God's wrath. The atoning sacrifice is what resolves this sin and appeases God. Yet, astonishingly, God himself provided the way to absorb that wrath. This is the atoning sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Today's passage says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. By this, God's love was revealed among us." It says God's love was revealed here. What kind of love is God's love? The range of love is very broad. Let's consider briefly from what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 says, "Love is patient and love is kind." Let's use this to think about the difference between human love and God's love. Setting aside the parent-child relationship, when does a person love another? That is, when are they kind and patient? Can we treat everyone with kindness and patience at all times? Probably not many people could answer, "I can." We find it easier to be kind and patient toward those who need help, those who we are close to, and especially those who are humble and know how to be thankful. For example, on the other hand, if the other person is very violent, an unrepentant evildoer, and provokes anger, it may be difficult to constantly love them or treat them with kindness and patience. In this way, I believe that human love has invisible prerequisites or conditions. In many cases, it is deeply related to the condition of the person we're trying to love. If the other person meets the conditions for receiving love, we can naturally or with a little effort love them and treat them with kindness and patience. However, if those conditions are not met, it becomes difficult to act kindly and patiently. And I feel that these conditions for receiving love are difficult for everyone. God's love is fundamentally different from human love. One difference is that it is a love that does not change based on the condition of the recipient. God does not love us because we are righteous, because we are good children. Rather, the Bible tells us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There is only one reason why God loves us. Because God Himself is love. God's love springs forth from God's very nature. If I may use the analogy of the sun warmly shines on everything. When the object being shone upon is a flower, mud, or animal, the same light is poured out. It does not say, I will shine on the flower because it needs it, or I won't shine on the mud because it is meaningless. The warm light of the sun emanates from the sun itself, regardless of the condition of what is being illuminated. Similarly, God's love overflows from God Himself. That love is poured out on all people, even to those who remain stubborn despite receiving that love, to the ungrateful and to those who say, I don't need God. God continues to pour out His unchanging, unconditional love. To summarize this point, God's reason for being angry is human sin. God's reason for loving is that God Himself is love. This God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and gave us life. The Bible says, in today's passage, God sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Regarding the phrase that we might live through Him, some may wonder, wait, don't we already have life? Since we breathe, move, touch, and feel, we are alive, regardless. However, the life spoken of here is a spiritual life given through belief in the Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that eternal life is this, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And a certain characteristic emerges in those who have been given this life. That is love, but according to John, love for others. In fact, John treats the presence of this love very strictly. Let us now look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, a passage right before today's passage. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, and because God is love. It clearly states here, whoever does not love does not know God. In other words, John is saying that without this love, claiming to believe in God is a lie, and faith itself is empty. This is because this love is the evidence of life. That's what John wrote. So, let us love one another is a new command God has given us. Earlier, I mentioned that human loves come with conditions for acceptance. So what about this command? This command does not say, love those you get along with, or love those you can talk to easily, or it doesn't say, love those who are capable. So it does not attach any conditions. It's very difficult for most of us. The Bible states all people are flawed, imperfect and fallen before God's righteousness. But what is strange is that while we verbally admit I have flaws, we have a habit of instantly judging our brothers and sisters based on criteria of capability, inability, or right or wrong. Certainly, there are times when one side is truly wrong. But the problem is that even those who perceive themselves to be the righteous side sometimes try to correct the other person in a way that lacks love. They might use knowledge, experience, or theology as weapons, build up logic, and use their perceived superiority to crush the other person, forcing them toward the right direction. Perhaps there was good intent, such as wanting to lead them to the right place efficiently, but looking back, we often realized it wasn't truly in accordance with God's heart. We have weaknesses. We cannot completely control things that extend into our unconscious minds. Even without realizing it, the desire to become our own God might reappear. No matter how careful we are, there are times when frustrations rise toward our brothers and sisters. Paul does not deny this human weakness. Let us read Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all things virtues put on love, which binds them all together in a imperfect unity. Paul assumes the fact that grievances will arise. He did not say Christians should not have complaints, but rather that even if there are complaints, we should forgive one another. And over all these things, put on love. In other words, love is the power that brings everything to completion. I have long struggled with what loving one another means and how it can be expressed in different words. I kind of understand God's awesome wrath and his boundless love, but how can loving one another be understood? What is the best way to rephrase that, loving one another? To be honest, perhaps my own practice of loving one another was not rich enough, and I struggled with understanding the phrase, loving one another, but seeing me struggling, one of my staff members said, "Isn't loving one another about treasuring one another?" Yes, I thought, that is exactly it. To treat each other as a treasured existence in the Lord, isn't this the core of loving one another? Even if there are ways they are impatient, even if there are moments of irritation, even when we harbor grievances, Paul says, ultimately, put on love. Love one another. Treasure one another. When I think about it deeply, I would like to say that I have been the one who was patient, loving, and treasured the other person in this regard. But the reality is quite the opposite. Rather, I realize that I'm a master of irritating others, a master of hurting, and one who still has stubbornness. Yet, I am the one who is being patiently endured, loved, and treasured by someone else. And I realize, perhaps shamefully, that not only have I received unconditional love from God through Jesus, but I have also been treated the same way by many brothers and sisters in the Lord and fellow believers. So the loves that God gives us brings love for others. bring forth love for others. Let's read First John chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God loves in us, and His love is made complete in us. God loved us with unconditional love and gave us life. That is why we should look up at that grace with gratitude and be those who love one another. Of course, we are flawed, imperfect, and sometimes distorted. Nevertheless, when we know the life we received through Jesus Christ, and based on that, we need to love one another. This way, God's love is completed in us. In summary, we were originally placed under God's wrath, but God loved us deeply and gave us His Son, Christ, because God is love. By receiving Christ, we have received life. This love of God produces brotherly love in us, which was unimaginable to our former selves. We who could once loved only people according to our standards, but we were now touched and transformed by unconditional love that God gave us. So we need to love other people based on the life that God gave us.